That brings me to 2 Peter, and just for sake of time, if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, we're just going to read two verses, verses 8 and 9, here in 2 Peter chapter 1. The Bible says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Now, we did talk about the introduction of this book, that Peter was more than likely writing to this similar crowd that he had written the first book to. But he did not make a delineation. In other words, he kind of expanded it to all believers or all Christians, those that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And he goes by and he talks about the things that he wanted to encourage them with, the life and godliness that God has given us, the divine power that God has given, because of his divine power, he's given us and able to give us all of these things. He also has given us great, exceeding, and precious promises, that we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then he goes on and he tells us about our precious faith, and that we should give diligence and add to that faith. Now, last week we kind of ran down all of these different elements. We have our faith, and then we're supposed to add to that virtue, and we're supposed to add to those things knowledge and temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. And as we add these things and put these things together with our faith, they make us to be something. Look at verse 8. He says, "For if these things be in you." So he says, if you have this like precious faith, and if you've added to that faith virtue, and you've added to that faith and virtue knowledge, and if you've added to that faith, virtue, and knowledge, temperance, and if you've added to that faith, virtue, knowledge, and temperance, patience, and if you've added to that faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and if you've added to that faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and if you've added to that faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity, we actually become something. We become something special. If you look at verse 8, he says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Our children and our teenagers and our workers had a wonderful experience this week. They had a lot of teaching. They had a lot of preaching. And they gained knowledge. And they were able to add to their faith some really great things, like virtue, like knowledge, like temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. You heard the testimonies of the workers and of the kids. It was a good time. They made new friends. They could be competitive, but still kind. All right. There wasn't anybody that was mean or horrible to anyone. And you know, just because they were on the other team. Now, there was some trash talk, but it was kind trash talk. Okay. Elijah was a trash talker, you know. We talked about that, you know. Oh, you're God. He's sleeping. Oh, maybe he's on a vacation, you know. It just works that way. you just want to be biblical about it. They were adding. And so as we think of these things, and I was just standing over here just thankful that elementary kids think that their favorite part of camp was the preaching. I just think that's wonderful. That's very special. All right. You understand that If these things be in us, we will become mature Christians. And we will get to the place where we're not barren. Okay? Now, being barren or idle or not producing, right? That's basically what barrenness is not a good thing for a Christian. All right? God didn't save us just to sit around and do nothing, right? God didn't save us not to produce any fruit. He actually saved us, if you will, because of his love toward us. But he wants something from us. He really does. He wants us to be productive. He wants us to be fruitful. He's given us these great and precious promises. He's allowed us to be partakers of the divine nature because he wants us to be productive. He doesn't want us to be barren. He doesn't want us to be unfruitful. He wants us to be productive in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you this. If we talk about knowing Jesus, I believe we have to talk about being conformed to his image. Those things are linked together. Everybody okay with that? The more that I know Jesus, or get to know Jesus, the more I should want to be like him. Everybody okay with that? That should be a natural process. And guess what? As I add to my faith these things, which by the way, are examples of Christ. Christ, right? He's what we believe in. That's where our faith begins. And then, can you think of anything that would embody virtue more than Jesus Christ? Can you think of anything that would embody knowledge more than Jesus Christ? Or temperance more than Jesus Christ? Patience more than Jesus Christ? Godliness more than Jesus Christ? Brotherly kindness and charity? Can you think of anything that would be a better example of those things? So as we add to our faith, can you see that a Christian is becoming more and more like their Savior as they add to their like precious faith? And he says that we will neither be barren nor unfruitful. John writes in 1 John 2, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." What does that sound like? It sounds like someone who is not barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It sounds like someone who is not perfect. We're not perfect, but we can add to our faith virtue into virtue, knowledge into knowledge, temperance and patience and self, all these things. We can add to them and grow as we should. In Philippians, Paul writes and says, "But what things were gained to me," he was talking about his righteousness as a Pharisee, "those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." You understand that Paul said, all the religious things and all the righteous things that I did and I lived for are nothing compared to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. It's excellent. I don't want to be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to add to my faith virtue, and to virtue, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I forgot the list, but I'll get to it in a minute. Knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. He says, I count them but dung. In the next verse, "for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And then Solomon wrote in Proverbs 2, and he said, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. So we see here that as we mature as a Christian and gain more and are not barren and not unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's a good thing. It's what God wants for us. It's what God desires for us. And by the way, we ought to keep growing day by day by day. Many of you have been able to watch as some of these teenagers that gave testimonies were up here in previous camp services giving testimonies as junior campers. Isn't that nice? It's a joy to see our young people grow in their Christian life, adding to their faith, just as we should add to our faith. Now, look at the sad part of this passage in verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind. So first we see in verse 8, he says, if these things be in you and abound. And then verse 9 says, if you lack these things. So if you, first of all, if you lack the like precious faith, you are in a certain sad estate. Because you need Jesus. Alright? But if you have that like precious faith, and you have not added to it virtue, or maybe you've added virtue, but you haven't added knowledge. Or maybe you've added some of that, and you've not added patience and temperance, or maybe you've not added godliness, or perhaps you've not added brotherly kindness, or maybe you haven't added charity to your faith. You understand that this is a sad estate of our own condition. We need to understand that God does not want us to live this way. He wants us to not be blind. He wants us to not see, he wants us to see afar off and not be negligent of this. And we ought to look ahead and see what could be. Yeah, he has given us that foresight. And he doesn't want us to have forgotten that we've been purged from our old sins. This verse matches up with this thing of liberty that we were talking to the kids all about this last week. And so young people, and those of you that went to camp, be the verse 8 kind of Christian, that these things are in you and abound, that you may neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do not be a 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 9 Christian that lacks these things and are blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. As we kind of close out this thought and these things, I'm going to read some examples here for you about spiritual blindness. But we need to give credence to and give heed to the Christian life is not a one day or one time thing. It's an everyday thing. You know, we could be doing well and these things can be in us and abound one day or one week or one month or one year and not the next. In the military, you've heard me say this before, and I'll say it again probably several times as I preach. But my time as a United States Navy enlisted person was 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 or 366 days a year, depending upon the year. I was never not a sailor. Do y'all understand that? Because I signed on this paper. And that paper said, you're enlisted in the United States Navy. And during that duration of that contract, I was always a sailor. It didn't matter if I was off duty. It didn't matter if I was on leave. It didn't matter where I was. I was a United States sailor. That's what I was. All the time. And ladies and gentlemen, we're Christians. After our enlistment in the Lord's army, if you will, by being saved, we're a Christian. And if we're not adding to our faith, then we're blind. And we're not seeing afar off. We're not seeing what could be, what God has for us. And we're nearsighted. And we're not getting the picture. And he says, the other thing is that we've forgotten that we're purged from we're entering into bondage again. You understand that this thing of Christian liberty is way misunderstood in our world today, even among Christians, so-called. They think it's the freedom to do whatever you want. I was just having this conversation with some of the guys after church this morning. That's not what liberty is. The simple definition for liberty is being freed from the bondage of sin. That's what it is. And so if you enter into sin again, you're choosing to be in bondage again, which is really stupid. It's dumb. Why would you do that? And so that is exactly what Peter is talking about here. He says, look, you're forgetting. You're bought with a price. You're bought and paid for. You're not supposed to be in that sin anymore. You're supposed to be adding to your like precious faith, and you're supposed to be not sinning, and you're supposed to be like Jesus, and you've forgotten. What a sad estate. Just a few passages here. This happened to Israel many times, but one record is from Isaiah chapter 59. He says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. What have they done? Entered into bondage again. Did they have to be? No. They were the people of God. God chose them. They were given all the things that they needed to be successful in God's eyes. He says, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and he that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. You know what a cockatrice is, right? It's a kind of serpent and kind of snake. And that's what it's talking about. He says, their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in a desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them in oppression and revolt, conceiving, we know them in transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. You say, Pastor, I haven't gone that far off the deep end. Well, they didn't at first either. It's a slow progression. And we've got to be careful that we don't enter into that by not allowing these things to be in us and about. As we grow in Christ, as we mature in Christ, it should be a daily adding process. Not to be stopped, but to be continued. He continues this thought in Matthew chapter 15. Realize that the people that Isaiah was talking to later on became the Pharisees. You understand that, right? We're still talking about the children of Israel, just in a later time. But I want you to notice that the same things are happening. Jesus says, or it says in the Bible, that Jesus called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth out, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare this unto us, this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to wash, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. He's talking about these Pharisees. They haven't changed. And they have forgotten that they knew the God that was the right God. And they had left that path and they had not chosen Christ. We need to make sure that we are the right kind of Christians, adding to our faith. And I want to give an encouragement to those that attended camp. Don't forget the things that you've heard. Don't forget the things that you've added to your Christian life this week. Let them be fruitful. Let them be in you. Let them abound, that you may be fruitful and not barren in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, those that are over these kids, help them. Help them add to their faith. You know how you can help them? You can help them by helping them, but you can help them by helping yourself. Because if you're a good example to them, they're going to see that example. They're going to hopefully follow that example. And so we have a responsibility to be that kind of parent. I'm glad that as a pastor, I get to go to church or to camp. I go to camp, so that's what I do. But I'm glad I get to go with the kids, both at teen camp to be there for them and with them, and also at junior camp to be with them, because I think it's important, and I want to continue to encourage them in these decisions that they've made, in the things that they've said that stirred their hearts and the testimonies. I want them to be fruitful and to abound. I want them to have these things in them and for these things to abound in them. And that's what we should all desire as God's children.